If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
This is Steve Downes, the voice of Master Chief, Sierra 117, and you're listening to Podcast Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox podcast. Now, finish this fight. Master Chief, out.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 517 of Podcast Unlocked. It's IGN's weekly Xbox show. I'm Ryan McCaffrey, joined by the usual crew, Miranda Sanchez. Hello.
Hi, hello.
Stella Chung, how are you?
Good. It's still so weird to hear that I'm like an official person on Unlocked, but yay. Hello. Yeah,
you'll get used to it. It'll be good. Destin Legarry, give us the catchphrase. Yeah, there it is. There it is. Well, I want to thank Stella and Destin for holding down the fort last week while Miranda and I were on assignment. We will be able to tell you about what we were doing last week next week. So until then, I'm not taking any further questions. That's the end of it. But we got some notable releases this week I wanted to cover off real fast before we get to the heart of our conversation this week. Shocker, it's about Halo again, because we're seeing some Halo campaign. Yes, if you haven't seen the 6-minute campaign overview trailer, pause this podcast right now and go watch it. But the quick things I wanted to mention, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy is out and it is great, says IGN.com's Tom Marks. 8 out of 10. I know I shouldn't be surprised at this. I guess it's the Avengers factor that's kind of lowered everybody's collective expectations here from Square's Marvel-related efforts. But this is the Eidos Montreal team responsible for the Deus Ex games, the most recent Deus Ex games. So really looking for, I got to add that to my list of games to play now, which gets progressively longer at this time of year. And then speaking of eights, not an Xbox game, but it is a Microsoft first-party game. If you're a PC gamer with a pretty decent gaming rig, Age of Empires 4, also an 8 out of 10 as well. So don't miss that. That is a long-running series. A lot of history, literally and figuratively. What's that, Destin?
Age isn't that PC intensive, is it? Age of Empires, it's like an RTS.
I mean, a new one, I think, is reasonably, like, you want to have something decent to throw at
it. Yeah.
Not just, you know, your average work laptop like I'm staring at here, which I don't think this could run like Minesweeper at this point.
Oh my God.
Also, I wanted to give a quick shout out to a game. We don't have a review on IGN at the moment. I'm not sure if we are planning one or not, because there's just 6 million games coming out. But a game that's right behind me, Echo Generation. It's on Game Pass. This is an ID at Xbox game. As you can see, it's voxel based. It's an adventure game. It's there was a demo of this tied to the Game Awards, I think, last December, so almost a year ago. And it's and this has been featured on one or two Xbox events in like the montage segment. It's really fun. I'm having a good time with it so far. So if you like adventure games, dial that thing up on Game Pass. I'm just getting into it myself, but I'm having a good time. And then there's one more on here. Who wrote that Moonglow Bay note? Miranda.
I wrote it.
Good note, Miranda.
Yeah, I know, Destin, you had talked about it previously. I think Brandon had as well. But Moonglow Bay is out. That's out on Game Pass. So I just wanted to make a note of it just because I know some folks were anticipating it. And it seems just like a nice little relaxing fishing slice of life game. So
that
looks like
good.
Minecraft sort of. There's a lot of lore to the fish. They're like spirits of people or something. Don't quote me on that. I haven't played it yet, but it's a very charming game. Good call, Miranda.
Yeah, that's, absolutely.
That's also Game Pass, I believe,
yes.
Correct?
Yep. Yes.
Oh, man. Wow. It's no, you're getting your subscription money's worth here. Your $10 a month.
That I think it's made by two people. Value. Very small team.
Oh, wow.
Very
incredible.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So plenty of good Game Pass fodder this week. And then coming up very soon, we've been talking a lot recently about the Grand Theft Auto Trilogy Remaster, officially known as GTA Trilogy, the Definitive Edition. That is officially dated now. It's November 11th as a digital release. If you want a disc, that won't be out till December 7th, interestingly enough. Huh. But November 11th on digital, and that'll be $60 or effectively $20 per game. Although what's interesting about that is the just San Andreas is going straight into Game Pass on November 11th. So you can play one of them, which I think is really great. And Sony's getting through PS Now, they're getting GTA 3. So
later, like a week later. It's really weird.
I thought it was the same day.
Oh,
I thought it was the launch day.
It's a little bit later. So Xbox gets the biggest, most popular game, San Andreas, which is really, really cool. And Sony is getting GTA 3 a few days later, which is it's really an interesting strategy. Now, I'm really excited about this, as Miranda knows, because I've been talking to her a lot about it. I've already played through GTA 3, the PC version. I've almost played through Vice City. Those games are much shorter campaigns than you remember. The total play time for like GTA 3 was like 4 hours.
Get
for all the campaign missions. Yeah,
really?
That's how long
it
is.
Just beeline through it?
If you beeline through it in GTA 3, there's no wall. But in Vice City, you had to buy all the properties. And then San Andreas was like much larger. San Andreas also had a lot of RPG elements where you could like get super jacked. You could like work out. There was a stamina gauge where you had to like build up your stamina. I'm not to that one yet. I have to wrap on Vice City first, but I forgot, Ryan. I'm sorry to just sort of hijack the show
please.
Here. I'm really excited about GTA Trilogy. GTA 3, 20 years old. They're celebrating their 20th anniversary. And I don't think even I had forgotten how much of an impact that game had on the industry as a whole. It was the first like open world experience where you could basically do anything. You could run people over. There was the whole controversy about like the prostitutes in the game and how that you could actually increase your life to be 125.
Yeah, you could have sex for health.
You could have sex for health.
I also have to really quickly, Dustin, I'm sorry. I have to say the first thing you say when you can do so, like just you could do anything, you can run people over.
You could follow the law. There was a whole radio station. Like I'm doing capture just because it was so easy. You just hit Alt F9 on my computer. I'm like, I'll just capture it. I'm playing it anyway. It's bare bones when you look back, but it was also revolutionary because there was nothing like it. There was nothing like GTA 3 at the time. It was basically like taking that third person formula, and it's just so special to me. I would sit in my room and I would just listen to the talk show radio stations,
Chatterbox
all night. And there's just like, there's just hours of dialogue on the radio stations. Yeah. The game is phenomenal. I can't wait to see what they do. Before the show, I actually brought up some of the stuff they're improving the controls. The controls were god awful. You would have to aim.
In hindsight, yeah.
They're very bad. Like
retroactively
by any
bad.
Standard, they're terrible.
At the time, it was fine because there wasn't really anything better.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you would have to aim. You would have to press RB. You would have to zoom in with your sniper here and then shoot with B. All the aiming and stuff was mapped over here, and then targeting was here. If you touch this stick, it would pop you out of your aiming controls.
Oh, my God.
You're
saying
really,
the
really
right
bad.
Thumb stick for our audio listeners, by the way.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
You couldn't restart your mission. So if you drive like three islands away, you would have to drive all the way back. That has been corrected. They're doing
you gotta save right before your mission. That's the move.
Every mission, yeah. And still do that probably, but I'm really excited to see the improvements here. Graphically, it's been really impressive. And I just wanted to express my enthusiasm and excitement for this re-release.
I'm so with you. Now, Miranda, in Destin's defense, the first thing out of his mouth being running over pedestrians, I believe that no game had ever actually let you do that before. There'd been driving games with pedestrians and maybe even ones you could kind of aim for, but they would always dive out of the way. Yeah, I think GTA 3 was the first time you could actually run someone over in a virtual car. So, yeah, I mean, when at the time you'd go just plow into people because a game had never let you do that before.
It let you be evil.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, and there's no repercussions for your actions. So you're like, well, I'm going to be terrible.
The wanted stars.
Yeah,
if a cop saw you hit someone, they would try to arrest you.
But then by Vice City, they actually implemented these little skull icons that you could collect. And just your whole goal would to go on a rampage and kill as many people as you possibly can.
Oh, no.
Because in GTA 3, just organically, people would just do that as sort of like a fun thing to do. You would get all your weapons and everything. You create a save and you just go on a rampage. Right. And of course, there was the infamous plane that you had to fly like this. It's like Dodo. Flappy Bird in a plane.
Its wings were broken. It was like,
oh my god!
Yeah. There aren't technically planes in GTA 3. There's the Dodo that you can just try to get it. You're like the Wright brothers, basically trying to get airborne with that thing. But I'm so with you, Destin. Just so many great memories of that game, and then San Andreas as right on Game Pass. I guess you could make the cynical argument that the one that is kind of historically everybody's favorite and most popular overall, which is Vice City, that's the one you have to pay. You have to pay for it. You can't get it on a game subscription service. But I agree. I still think it's cool that Rockstar is putting individual games on each platform's subscription service. So yeah, I'm with you. That's November 11th. Can't wait for that. It's going to be fun to dive back in. Real quick before we get to Halo, event announcement here, the Xbox Anniversary Celebration live stream will take place, when else, on November 15th, the actual 20th anniversary of Xbox. That's going to be at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. And the head of Microsoft Studios, Matt Booty, making it very clear, saying, quote, "While we won't announce any new games, this anniversary broadcast will be a special look back at 20 years of Xbox. We will have that for you on IGN because, of course, we're going to air that. I'm looking forward to watching it." I'll also note that at the risk of jinxing this whole thing before we've actually done it, we do have a special unlocked planned that will drop that day as well that I think people will enjoy. So we're putting that together now.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, time to talk Halo once again, because you know what? We've been waiting 6 years to talk Halo. So if you're like, God, you guys are talking about Halo every week, too bad. We love it.
Oh, yeah, we are. Yeah.
We love it. Miranda, let me start with you. The 6-minute campaign overview trailer, 6 minutes of new campaign footage. You've come prepared. Excellent.
Grunt's excited. I almost forgot him. This is a shout out to Mitch Dyer. Don't ever let him know that I have this. He left this on accident and I never gave it back. I was like,
wow.
Hey,
wow. What kind of friend are you?
Wow.
I'm a great friend. I've had a lead with him in Dota. I supported him. This is the payment. Okay. Anyway. yes.
What do you think of this, Miranda? Yeah, we've been.
Yeah, let's get to the campaign the campaign reveal. I was so surprised to see how much they revealed. Honestly, when they said, "Hey, we're going to show campaign," I'm like, "Oh, starting our week off with Halo? That sounds fantastic." But also, I think there's a lot of curiosity going into this because I sort of thought they would maybe go in the vein of doing some sort of big reveal or explainer, like a dev deep dive into like what they've changed, just because obviously last time we got to see campaign, it was sort of, you know, not a great reception across the board. And I think there's a lot of expectation there that just wasn't met. But as far as I've seen online, reception seems pretty good. This campaign reveal is also very cheeky. I think there's one moment where they specifically refer to Craig. We all know Craig. Craig the Brute. He's a, you know.
From last
like
summer.
Returning favorites, and he's running up the ramp to where Craig.
But as I was going to say, there's a line that says, and returning favorites, and then like who Craig would have been is still the new evolution of Craig just gets decimated. It's so funny. But it's kind of nice to see them being cheeky and sort of playing with the knowledge that, yes, maybe our first reveal wasn't quite what we wanted it to be. But now we're back and we have so much to say. So I don't know how much you want me to talk, Ryan, because I could talk at length about 6 minutes. But, you know,
we're going to go around the table. And we're, there's a lot to go on here. So, like, what jumped out at you, Miranda? Let's start there.
Honestly, what we're watching right now, just the largeness of the world. So we had sort of a small perspective of that whenever we got the initial reveal. And I think getting to see them, you know, hopping in vehicles and exploring was really intriguing to me, because we've known that Halo has had open sandboxes before. I mean, if you just think about even like the original Halo Combat Evolved and just how far you could drive around, like, where are you tumbling? Where are you going? I know where to go because I've played that game so many times. I can do it by like the back of my hand. But this one seems like it's going to offer just a lot for exploration and collectibles. You guys, I'm so excited. Whenever they pop the map, you can see all these little markers. You can see the skulls. I'm just like, oh, what are those? I need to know. I will find them. So I'm just really excited to see that. I know that could be a little bit of a weird thing for some people, because I know with Halo, we get this very, it's almost like in a way a curated experience, right? Like their sandbox design and levels are very focused. Like there's options there, but you're not meant to go running around the world, you know, Far Cry style or some like huge open world style that we've had for a lot of games. I think transitioning that into a first person shooter can be interesting, especially with one like Halo, where it's not like we really do fetch quests. Like the chief is too good for fetch quests.
That's right.
So it'll be
people fetch things for him, not the other way around.
Exactly. I think we kind of saw that with like some of the drops. It's like, yes, thank you. Go get this for me.
Like, hey, bring me a mongoose, and then a mongoose appears. So it's
exactly. So I'm curious to see what sort of other activities there will be in this world. If there are, obviously we see this one right here. And if you're listening, we are watching this segment where Chief goes into that facility and has to go shut it down by destroying the different, I guess, like vent things that are there.
Energy tower things, I guess.
Yeah.
Fuel silos.
Yeah. Whatever those may be, they explode gloriously. And that's what we like to see.
Yes.
So that I think could be a really neat part of like the play loop cycle. Again, we don't really know how massive this world is or like what each point looks like. So those are the things that really stood out to me, is like, how does this exploration work here? What is the evolution of, you know, Halo look like while also staying true to its roots? So that's what I'm curious about.
Well, overall. I see battle rifle, I see scorpion tank, I click upvote. That's really that simple. No. Stella, now you're newer to Halo, certainly in the campaign department. You're doing our Halo Infinite multiplayer review while I'll be doing the campaign review. So I'm kind of curious of your perspective here. What, you know, as someone that doesn't have 20 years of baked in memories and expectations, you're coming at this a little fresher from a campaign perspective. What did you think of this 6 minute campaign overview?
It looks really cool. Like, I know I need to catch up on the lore and everything, which I hope I can do before this launches, which means a lot of game time. But it looks really cool. I think that the enemies look really interesting, especially that floaty lady. I'm just like, oh, she is very cool. And she looks very strong. I mean, she punches Master Chief through like the building. So I'm very curious about her.
A tree.
Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, I like this. The open world aspect is definitely very interesting. I don't think I expected that from Halo Infinite. But at the same time, I'm not like 100% surprised. It kind of makes sense because I know a lot of people really like just how big the world of Halo is. So having it be more open world style makes a lot of sense. I also love the fact that they're accounting for different play styles. They're like, hey, if you want to approach this area this way, you totally can. If you want to approach it like more stealth like, or if you want to go in guns blazing, do that. I really like that a lot. As someone who likes to change things up every so often, I like to go in guns blazing, but at the same time, sometimes I'm just like, you know what, let me use the environment to try and kill these guys or something like that. So I really like that aspect. The story looks very dark, and I kind of like that. I at the end of the trailer, I know they said welcome to the new era of Halo, so I'm just like, ooh, okay, maybe they're trying to see if they can build something more with this. So I'm very curious and interested in the world that they're building now after, you know, 6 years of Halo not being around. I'm very interested. Also, I didn't realize that this pilot here, he has the same voice actor as Octane in Apex. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, Nicholas Roy. So I heard his voice and I was like, oh, that's him immediately. So very interested. I don't know. It looks gorgeous. It looks really fun to play, but I think I'll still wait for co-op for campaign just because playing through Combat Evolved with my friend, I'm just like, I can't imagine this any other way. Like, we're just having so much fun just messing with each other too. Fair. And I feel like that's part of the campaign. So I'm definitely going to wait, but it does look gorgeous and I'm very excited to play it. Yeah.
Destin, yeah, thank you. Destin, how about you? What's your reaction here?
The main things that jumped out at me watching it is it felt like Far Cry with how you're blowing up the outposts and whatever. I made that connection right away. And I don't mean that as a negative. It wasn't quite what I expected immediately from Halo Infinite, but it doesn't mean that's a bad thing. I was actually kind of like excited to see what sort of activities that they're going to be offering. I like that there's like a Spartan killer, basically elite, that you encounter in the mission that they showed in this footage. That's really exciting. I love that they just drop the gear in like they don't even care about it or whatever. I think that's sort of funny. Yeah,
like,
and I think
over here.
Yeah.
There's a $10 million wasp that we carefully constructed and we'll just drop it.
Yeah. Junk. And then, yeah, I don't know. It's pretty interesting. And the other thing that jumped out to me was the AI and how she's very naive. I'm pretty convinced that narrative wise, as we play through the campaign, something is going to happen and she's going to become more intelligent and definitely grow as a character. I feel like we're being purposefully misled and she's stronger than she actually is letting on. I don't know what's going on there, but I'm just like, it's interesting that they went with that strategy. And while it's going to be a great character to sort of like teach new players about the Halo universe and everything,
yeah,
I have a feeling we're going to be in for a surprise with that character. Those are the main things that jumped out on me. Really excited to play Halo Infinite. I just want to play it at this point. Like, it's so close to launch. I want to experience it for myself. And we already know that like the gameplay is going to be awesome because we played it in multiplayer. And sorry, another part I really love. You're safe here. Drives off a cliff.
Yeah, this
like, is oh, okay, maybe we don't want to hang out like with Chief
what,
anymore.
No seatbelts. What could possibly go wrong? We're just plummeting the Warthog right off a cliff on purpose.
I was curious, Ryan, how do you feel about this character having a life bar? Because I know you don't really like RPG type element things in
well,
a game.
So. I don't like numbers floating over, damage numbers floating over people's heads in certain games. Mm-hmm. Like, but yeah, no, I'm glad you pointed that out because that was on my notes too, which is there are clearly, I mean, this would seem to indicate some kind of special encounter, dare we call it a boss fight. Because yeah, that guy, the name, I freeze framed it. It's Tremonius, and he's got a health bar, and you know, that seemed like a, you know, substantial firefight. So, you know, Halo has never, it's really been more about kind of special encounters, I would say, over the years than proper boss fights. I mean, there was Tartarus at the end of Halo 2, which, you know, we know that wasn't even supposed to be the end of Halo 2, but there was, I'm trying to think of any like actual other boss. There just aren't many. There are very few. Like, you know, in Halo 2, there's the Scarab, like, oh, that's a big moment. That's a special moment. It's like a climactic point, but not, you wouldn't call that a boss fight. So yeah, if they're going to work in like boss fights where there are enemies with custom AI that have, you know, different attacks, different things, I am all for that. That's I would love that kind of gameplay variety. But I also want to point out, you know, and this is certainly subjective, but if you watch this in 4K 60, because it's a real clean image, as far as if you do watch this in 4K 60, I think it's looking way better than it did a year ago. I mean,
right up front, the shots are from the old trailer. It jumps right at you. It's a marked improvement.
Yeah.
from the original footage. It's less flat. There's more texture on Chief's armor, more detail and lighting. Lighting has been reworked. It's really, really remarkable what they've accomplished this far.
Yeah. And in fact, on that note, I guess I'll skip down because we have like several Halo things to talk about, not just this, but as it pertains to this, we did learn this week there will, as nice as I think this is looking, there won't be any ray tracing support at launch. But 343 says, quote, "We're looking forward to working closely with AMD to bring ray tracing to Halo Infinite. Ray tracing is one of our top development priorities post-launch, and we look forward to sharing more soon." Now, Destin, I know you made a bit of a hilarious observation with regard to that.
Yeah, I can paraphrase it, but basically I said, well, my first joke was literally unplayable, and my second joke was, still can't believe Halo Infinite doesn't have ray tracing at launch. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll get back to my Game of the Year contender, Metroid Dread. But the point I'm trying to make is I think ray tracing has been lauded in recent years as like a requirement for all games to have to be wonderful. And I just don't think that's true. I think you can have amazing gameplay, awesome gameplay experiences without ray tracing. That bonus is nice to have. I don't think it's a requirement. And a lot of people criticize Halo for it. Now, granted, it's a bummer that it doesn't have it. Like, I'm not going to dumb that down at all. But to imply that the gameplay is going to be impacted because it doesn't have ray tracing, what? You're going to get higher frame rate? like that. That's how it's going to be impacted, really. Excited to see it when it does have ray tracing. I think ray tracing is sort of a buzzword that the internet has kind of really latched on to this console generation.
I don't know. I would respectfully push back a little on you there, because I think it was kind of sold as, and it may yet come true, but it was sold heading into this new console generation with Series X and PS5 as kind of a big differentiating factor over just, you know, higher CPU, more memory compared to last gen. And we really haven't seen it play out yet. With regard to ray tracing.
They told us months ago that Halo wouldn't have ray tracing at launch, though. Like, we've known that forever.
They told, go ahead, Miranda, but they told us that before the delay. So,
yeah.
Right. Like, so there's a lot of, I would say, just quickly on that point of, they already told us this. There's a lot of things they've already told us, but I think a lot of people have missed either because it has been through a blog post, which hasn't gotten as much circulation, or wasn't at like some sort of big event that most people are paying attention to.
Yeah, they also told us it would launch with co-op 3 times, and then, you know, oh yeah, our bad.
I think one of the things too is like, what I keep trying to remind people is like, remember, we are still in a pandemic. Like, people are working from home. Like, that changes development wildly. I think it is fair for people to be disappointed when something that you're really excited for doesn't have a thing that you're really excited for. That's fair to be disappointed, but it's not fair to,
not
like,
it's not.
Harper. Huh? I'm not saying that you didn't imply that you can't be disappointed. I guess I'm supposed to just say it's like, take it with like, okay, you can be disappointed, but don't harass people about your disappointment. Like, that's where it's drawing that line. And I think too, the disappointment in that, you know, this is supposed to be, you know, premier Microsoft studio, right? Like, they're not coming out with ray tracing for Chief. Does Chief not deserve, I said this before,
it's the
Chief
flagship.
Does not deserve this? Yes. And I think it's like, well, this is supposed to be like a big flagship game. This is something that's supposed to really showcase the power of the Series X. And, you know, there's still some stuff kind of missing. But again, I think if this weren't pandemic worlds, like, maybe this past year that they got extra would have been a lot different. Or maybe what we even saw a year ago would have been a lot different. So I think keeping all of that in consideration is just really important, because, you know, as much as I think us as individuals have had problems with the pandemic, like, they also are too. They're also working in a job that, you know, requires a lot of collaboration. And I'm sure the development cycle with the pandemic has been a lot. So it's just a thing to keep in mind of like, yes, hold your disappointment, but don't put that on somebody else. Like, it's not. Yeah. That's all I wanted to say really quickly, just because I think there's also been a lot of that with pivot from Xbox. Technically, is like the Animal Crossing community. Like, people are like, well, why didn't they do all these things? Or like, I'm disappointed in this. It's like, okay, guys, also, it's like, well, this was such an important game for the pandemic. Why didn't they do this faster? It's like, they're also in the pandemic. I don't know. It's not like they exist in some alternate universe where they just drop ship us some nice toys to play with while we're stuck somewhere. Anyway, I also want to just like bring this back really quickly to Halo and say I really hope those skimmers that they showcased in this are replacing the buggers, because I hate buggers. I hate them.
Nice. All. Yeah, those were cool to see as a new enemy, but and that's part of what I was saying up front is the reason I specifically said I think this is looking a lot better than a year ago is I wanted to make the point like, yeah, it is a little bit of a disappointment because this is a flagship game for the platform that there isn't ray tracing at launch. But what's there is looking really good to me. I mean, is it like, I don't know, look, I hate to use a Sony example because then it just invites platform war that I'm not looking for. But like, is it The Last of Us Part Two, you know, caliber of like, holy crap, visual spectacle? No, but like, if you look at the kind of the overall scale and scope of what's going on here, like, it is looking really good to me visually. And I think, you know, it's the fact that it's doing that, like, if they're able to add ray tracing later, it's only going to look better. And Destin, the joke I was looking to have you reference is, I thought you had a really good line about the lack of ray tracing at launch, but the fact that they've got a little partnership lined up.
Yeah, like, no ray tracing at launch. By the way, buy this $2,000 graphics card or however much the Radeon
Halo themed. Yeah, they're doing a Halo themed GPU.
Same day
that they announced that there's no ray tracing, but they're actually partnering with AMD to do the ray tracing. It was just sort of like this interesting timing in terms of announced thing. And like, there's a lot going on with the whole ray tracing conversation right now. Yeah, people can be disappointed. I'm trying to make the point that gameplay is still king at the end of the day for me.
Yeah,
and if you have a game with great gameplay, that's more important than all of the bells and whistles. I am disappointed that there's no co-op. I think it's very concerning that they promised co-op so many times and then pulled it at the last second. I think I have this theory that Staten walked into this studio and he had to make some tough calls.
No doubt.
About like delaying the game, not having co-op at launch, pushing it 3 months out. Those are not enviable announcements that I would wish on any developer, even the ray tracing one. There's a whole lot of stuff going on within these conversations, including Miranda's point about the pandemic and everything. And I think at this point we can all agree that if you harass developers, you suck. So
yeah. I will say too, I loved your Metroid Dread comparison because it's like, people love that game. You think you're going to have ray tracing?
Exactly.
Hell no.
At this point, I just want the game to come out. Like, if that means no ray tracing and co-op at launch, okay, I just want it out. I just want to play it. Like, that's fine. People, awesome. And then, you know, just like, well, what, I want this, I want that. Like, do you want to wait another 3 months? No? Then, okay, you just wait. It'll be fine. I promise you.
Some people would wait.
Some people would
rather wait.
Yes,
people will wait for just like Stella, like you were saying, you're probably going to wait to play campaign until you can play co-op. I will say, though, I would invite all of you out there who are like, well, I'd rather play campaign co-op. I'd like to invite you to the great challenge of playing solo legendary with me.
Oh, God.
Weapon juggling, learn it.
Oh, my
You've
God.
Heard of the great journey in Halo. Now take on the great challenge of playing solo legendary. It turns out that was the great journey all along, was solo legendary
was the
run.
Along the way.
Exactly. The checkpoints we cleared along the way.
Oh, my God.
So next up, again, we've got kind of a bit of Halo news surrounding this core new campaign asset. 343 has revealed the date that the online multiplayer servers for several Xbox 360 Halo games are going to close down, and that is January 13th of 2022. So that's coming up in just under 3 months. They say, to date, we've juggled future-facing work and priorities with continued upkeep of Halo's Xbox 360 legacy services. Maintaining these legacy services today requires significant time and resources, which directly impacts the studio's ability to support current and future projects like Halo the Master Chief Collection and Halo Infinite. So just wanted to throw that out there. I would venture the number of listeners of this podcast/viewers that are actually playing it on 360, I'll bet I can count them on two hands. And the reason is, of course, and that's the reason I'm not bothered by this at all, but certainly wanted to bring it up, is because they've done a great, great job with Master Chief Collection, that that's where you can go to keep experiencing this, and that's where it's being kept alive and maintained. So I can't imagine really anybody is going to be super upset about the actual legacy 360 servers being spun down here.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, you can still play the single player campaign on there too if you really, really want to.
Right.
But
well,
yeah.
Sorry, Stella.
Sorry.
Well, there are places like Brazil where console gaming is tremendously expensive. Mm-hmm. So there is potentially, you know, a large audience in places where it's more difficult to get modern consoles that are still playing this game on previous consoles. And I like to bring them up regularly because I think people forget, like, we're a little spoiled in the UK and America and in a lot of these places. You go to Brazil and a 360 costs $300. True. You know, so losing a game like Halo, one of the flagship titles, might be a bigger deal there. But maybe I'm mistaken. I've heard great things about how Game Pass is really taking off in those territories and how the Series S has just been a boon. And I think Xbox even recently adjusted pricing for some territories to compensate for that issue I'm alluding to.
I mean, it has been 15 years almost now since Halo 3 came out. And there is at least the X. You can play it. You can play Master Chief Collection on the Xbox One. You don't need a Series X for it. So, yeah, it's. I mean, it's always kind of sad to see a classic game get sunsetted. But thankfully, in this case, it's living on in a really authentic way through Master Chief Collection. So there's a very, very large silver lining to that. The one other Halo story I wanted to do here is peripheral Halo, but longtime Bungie veteran and Master Chief's actual creator, the former art director at Bungie, Marcus Lehto, he is starting a new studio. He announced it on Twitter saying, "Hey, everyone, I'm very excited to announce that I've joined EA as a game director, building a new studio in the Seattle area working on first-person games. Ooh. I can't wait to share more about what we're creating." So my first thought was, oh, I wonder if he'll be under Vince Zampella's group, because Vince has kind of he oversees a number of studios besides just Respawn there in the group now. And EA has wisely been giving Vince more autonomy, more power over studios, which is he has clearly earned that. And he has been a good steward of making excellent games. So we'll see about that. But the other thing that I wanted to bring up with this is EA is getting into the first person shooter game more than, I mean, before this they had, I mean, they're, you know, Titanfall, RIP, we're seemingly not getting any more of those. There's Apex, certainly, and Battlefield, and that's it in the first person viewpoint here at EA. But now you've got also DICE LA, the what's now called Ripple Effect. We know they're doing a first person game, and presumably whatever Respawn's non Jedi Fallen Order 2 project is probably going to be first person. There's a very good odds there. And now this from Marcus and his new team. So yeah, I'm kind of curious, you know, if we go go maybe Stella's way first here. You know, you're a big Apex fan. You've been a big fan of Respawn's work. Mm-hmm. Are you eager to see what a former Bungie veteran has will be able to cook up for EA?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have no idea what they could be making, so I'm very curious about, you know, him saying that he wants to he can't wait to show us like what he's working on, right? But I don't know. I think EA does shooters pretty well. I feel like they also do narrative very well. I mean, if you look at Jedi Fallen Order, like, of course, Respawn did a really good job with that narratively. And same with Titanfall, too. They did a great job with the story. So I absolutely trust that EA can do a first person game, even if it's not an FPS, very well. I am very, very curious, though, on what that is, because I have no idea what they're going to be, what he's going to be making, what Respawn's making. Also, I want to argue with you, Ryan. I don't think that Titanfall, like another Titanfall title is out of the picture. I think that a lot of people forget that devs say, hey, it's not out of the picture. Like, we're just focused on a lot of things right now. I mean, Apex is their first live service game that they've ever had. So it's like, you know, when Apex first launched, they learned a lot of different things. They've been expanding the team for that. And originally Respawn was a very small studio, and now it's been growing. So I think that once they get their resources in order and get their team settled, I think that they might look at Titanfall 3 or, you know, another title, especially with the way that Apex lore has just been growing the Titanfall universe. I think people are recognizing, like, hey, Respawn does a really good job with narrative design, and I think that maybe we should keep funding them.
I hope you're right. Number one, where I was coming from with that was when there was the quote from, what was it, like one of the community managers or community developers that came out and said, oh yeah, there's no, we're not working on Titanfall 3. But then there was the, from like the Respawn account or something, they tweeted later, like, you never know what we're working on. So
yeah,
I don't know. It has been, gosh, how it's been a good, what?
It's been a while.
4 years since, yeah. How long ago was Titanfall 2 at this point? It's been a while. But let me just, while we're on the subject, I know we're talking about Marcus Leto and his new studio, but Stella, just as a big Apex fan, what do you think it would make more sense to do if there is a Titanfall 3?
Mm-hmm.
Would it make more sense to actually flip the script and brand it as an Apex Legends game? Because that name has become so much bigger than Titanfall did. Like, would it be like Apex Legends, you know, Apex Stories. Legends universe,
yeah,
Titanfall tragedy, or, you know, like, did you see something like,
oh no,
you know, they'd make a dramatic story, as I'm sure.
I understand what you're saying, but I think that would be doing Titanfall a disservice. I mean, really, Apex was born of the Titanfall universe, and they both exist. They're following the same timeline. And I think I understand what you're going for, but I think that Apex survives well on its own, and it has a continuation in its story. So I feel like they should stay separate, even though they do take place in the same universe. And now we have a legend who was a Titanfall 2 boss. I think they can mesh the worlds really well since they are still the same universe, but I think it should still stay Titanfall. It's a Titanfall title, because I feel like Titanfall has really become one of those like legacy titles. And they're just like, you know, like Titanfall has done things that a lot of FPSs have never done, and they do them so well. Like, I still play Titanfall 2 multiplayer, and I'm like, oh my God, why? I wish more FPSs were like this. I wish they took care of the servers a little bit more, because every time I play, I'm just like, that's right. This is why I love Titanfall. This is why I stand by the fact that Respawn makes really good FPS games. I kind of went off on a tangent, but yeah, I love Titanfall and Apex. So
let's take it one step further before we end this topic. What if Marcus Leto's new studio is making Titanfall 3? What if that's what they're building? It's not out of the question, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Marcus has extensive experience making science fiction, high quality first person shooters.
That is true.
It's not, and Respawn's busy with other things. So, you know, I'm just going to put it out there as a possibility. I mean, I think the odds are probably a little better that Marcus and his new team are building something new, but, you know, you never know. I would be thrilled if we learned that Marcus is working on the Titanfall universe. That would be awesome.
Yeah, especially if he is under Vince Zampella, then that might be a little bit more, you know, towards the possibility, but that'd be really cool. Yeah. I don't know. I'm definitely not like holding out hope for Titanfall 3 or another Titanfall game right now. But the fact that they do recognize that it has an audience, and that Apex is only growing the audience and interest for Titanfall, I think that's a really good, like, positive outlook to have. Like, oh, I think we could get it in the future. I don't know when. I mean, Halo Infinite is coming out after like 6 years. I'm okay. I'm okay with waiting, you know?
Yes. Stella, yes, indeed.
I'd be curious to hear your thought. There's a little bit of latency today, so I apologize for the tripping over everybody.
Yeah,
on this episode. Stella, I think that when Apex came out, they expected it to be big, but I don't think they expected it to be a phenomena. So they kind of have lightning in a bottle. Do you agree with that? Or do you think they always expected it to be this major thing? It's like the number two battle royale in the world.
I don't think they were expecting it. I mean, again, like I said, when I, every time I've interviewed them and I talked to them about like the launch, they were like, yeah, we weren't expecting it to take off like this. Like it was their, I think a lot of people forget that in the beginning, Respawn actually really struggled to keep up with the live service format. I mean, their first battle pass was abysmal. I love Respawn. I'm so sorry, but it was so bad. A lot of people were like, yeah, this got really stale. And a lot of people actually dropped off in season zero because they're like, there's nothing else for me to do here. Like, yeah, I can go in and play the game, but I have no rewards. There's no reason for me to keep playing. So they actually struggled a lot with keeping up with that format. But once they realized how big this was, how much how many resources they needed to pour into to Apex, they're like, yeah, this is huge. This could be really big. So, yeah, I don't think they were expecting it.
If I remember right, wasn't Apex basically a Skunk Works project within Respawn that like EA didn't even really know about? I feel like I remember talking to them about that or reading that somewhere. I could be wrong.
But didn't you and CJ go do the reveal event?
Yes. Well, right before it came out, it was like, hey, come down and play this thing. Mm-hmm. Wait, was that me? No, that wasn't me. That was Titanfall 2. We did send somebody went down. It might have been Brandon Tyrell.
Yeah. Okay. I just pulled them in a room and I was like, tell me everything.
Oh my god.
But yeah, still, I totally remember that because I was one of those people who fell off. Like, there's so many, like, just basic things like stats not being tracked and, like, just a lot of stuff that's like, well, I guess I'll put the tally on my bedroom wall of how many times I've won. Weird.
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, they dropped it and it was hugely successful with no marketing or anything at all. So the fact that it did so well on its own, it was very telling. But yeah, and I remember them, it was definitely a passion project. So it's not like they did this as a cash grab like most companies do with battle royales. I won't name any names, but anyways, it was very telling because every time I've talked to the devs, they're just like, yeah, we really loved PUBG. We really liked Fortnite. Like, we wanted to bring something like that, but from the Titanfall universe, because we really loved those types of games. And the fact that even though there are problems with Apex, that the community is so like passionate about it, and now it's a blossoming esports too. Like, the fact that it's so successful, I think Respawn's like, yeah, we need to take a look at what we're doing. So.
Well, to your point, Ryan, I just wanted to make the real quick point that I think Apex has been so successful, not only for Respawn, but for EA, that it has caused EA to reevaluate their entire publishing strategy and look for new opportunities. So the studio from Leto, the reason it's first person shooter is probably due to the success of Apex. And that lends a little bit more credence to the idea that he could be working on an Apex spinoff of some sort.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, you never know. He also, his entire career has been spent making shooters. So it's like, that's what he knows and that's what he's good at. So if they signed him up, they know, you know, they're probably not going to ask him to make a JRPG, right? They're going to.
Oh my God.
Or imagine. A dating sim, you know, they're probably.
Hey, you know, anything's possible. Okay.
Wait a minute. A Titanfall dating sim?
Which Titan would be the most
popular? They match make it with the Titan. They're just like, which Titan would be best fit for your personality?
I know people always like treat dating sims as a joke when there are actually a lot of depth and good stuff to it. But I'm also like, if this means on April 1st, I get a dating sim for games that I love and it's very goofy, but fine, I will take it every single time.
Yeah.
I guess on the point of this topic as well, I think hearing that we're getting like just yet another studio is really interesting. And I kind of want to like create a little time capsule for myself for 5 years. Like, I'm ready to open this in 5 years. I want to list all the new studios that have been announced recently. Like, there has been the Respawn spinoff studio from a lot of those folks who went on. They're just doing their own thing. Ken Levine studio. Don't know what's happening there. That's still just been a big question mark. You know, former IGN employee Scott Lowe is working on That's No Moon, which is like independent AAA development sort of deal. So there's a lot of these. We're making a new studio with like very big talent from before. And that's so exciting. But I'm just like, okay, guys, what are you doing? I want to know. So I think it's just like one of those. Check back in a few years and maybe everyone's announced something. So
there's the team that broke off from Playdead and is making. We've seen the trailer at the last Xbox event. It looked amazing, and I'm blanking on the name of the game now. But yeah, there's a ton of those.
Just no shortage of games.
Yeah, ahead, just one more point about the EA thing. I know that they're putting they have him now, so there's like another studio being in the works. I also want to not to stay on the Apex thing, but like, I know that EA has made Apex, has declared Apex as one of their flagship games. And I'm just like, put a little bit more love in it. Like, you know, give us a little bit more support, because I know there have been a lot of issues. And it's like, I understand that all these new studios might fund new IPs and new money and stuff, but I really wish that they would focus on giving more support to companies that are clearly growing their own platform and giving back the trust to the community. I mean, Respawn does a fantastic job of communicating to their community, like, hey, we're working on this, we're doing this. They're very transparent. And not only that, as a company, but even the devs as individuals are very good at, I mean, they're active in the subreddit. They're constantly answering questions, even if, you know, they know that they'll get a lot of hate for it. They're very active in player, like streamers, communities and stuff too, like always being there for questions. So I hope EA recognizes that and realizes that they have to invest in these companies that are reestablishing this trust for them. Because I know a lot of people still hear EA and they're just like, oh, EA, you know? And I think that Respawn especially has been doing a really good job of reconnecting communities together. So
if you're watching on video, there's Titanfall 2 campaign B-roll playing right now. And now I just want to play Titanfall 2 campaign. But I've got to wrap this topic up. And in fact, we are running out of time. So I'm going to save the loot box for next week. But I've got that queued up and ready. But because we have to do the trivia question before we go, because it's Halloween week. We've got Halloween coming up. And Lee DeWald, whose gamer tag is Distinct Urchin 7. He's from Omaha, Nebraska. And he writes, in the spirit of the holiday season, I'm submitting a Halloween themed, sort of Halloween themed trivia question. These four games feature aliens, zombies, and other things that go bump in the night. They all date back to the 360 days, and they're all dead, in quotes, on arrival. Which dead game appeared in Summer of Arcade? So I think this is a layup, and I hope all of you get it. Uh-oh. So I'll get my scorecard out here in a second.
I can't see that now.
So which of these four appeared... Was a Summer of Arcade game? Was it Dead Island, Dead Light, Dead Rising, or Dead Run? So let's see. Let me go. Let's see, I'll go Destin's way first today.
I don't know what Dead Run is. I've never heard of it. I've played Dead Rising. I played Dead Island. I think it's Dead Light. I think it's okay. B, but I don't know, Ryan. Like, I don't know at all.
All right, fair enough. Miranda,
I said layup. Now I've like. Pride is on the line.
A little reverse psychology, put the pressure on, you know.
Yeah, I don't know this one, but first I want to say, Lee, thank you for that lovely description. That was great. I'm going to say A, Dead Island. I don't know, and I don't remember.
Okay. Stella, any thoughts here?
Yeah, my first thought was Dead Island.
You go with Miranda on this one?
Yeah, it's Arcady. Okay.
Well, we are going to put points on the board this week, which makes me happy. And it's going to make the winner extra happy because that means the gap is closing. Destin is correct.
No! Deadlight. No!
Miranda at 9 for the year. Destin at 8. Yeah, Deadlight. I actually, after I looked at Lee's question, I went back. I was like, oh, I remember Deadlight. And then I went back and looked at the IGN review. I reviewed it. I gave it an 8.5. Oh, It's very much like it's a side scrolling, like atmospheric, you know, kind of in the Limbo kind of vein.
That's really funny.
It was really good. And yeah, that was a Summer of Arcade game. Dead Island was a retail release. So, of course, was Dead Rising. And then Dead Run, I threw in there as a red herring. That Dead Run, if my brain was remembering correctly, was a canceled, let's see, wait, I may have gotten the name wrong, but in any case, I'm glad nobody fell for it. There was a canceled Activision game that was named something like that. But anyway, Lee, great job on that trivia question. And if anybody else out there wants to send in an Unlock Block trivia question, email it to unlocked@ign.com. Include the question for multiple choice answers. Note the correct one and don't forget your name as well. We've got to get on out of here with that episode 517 in the books. I'm Ryan McCaffrey. You can find me on Twitter at @DMC_Ryan. Destin?
Destin Legary @DestinLegary on Twitter, where I just post dumb stuff now. just don't take me seriously there.
All right, fair enough.
You can watch Halo react. I did my Halo reaction on my YouTube if you want to see that.
All right. Yeah. I do want to see that.
YouTube, Miranda? The Destin channel there.
Yeah. God. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and everywhere else. At Havoc Gross and Havoc with K. I almost forgot my name for a second. It has been one of those months.
Yeah,
it's years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please just stay tuned to IGN. We're working on a lot of very cool stuff for this fall. So please use our guides and hang out with us. Thank you.
Excellent. Stella, take us home.
You can find me at Parallax Stella on Twitch and Twitter. And this Friday, I'll be on Twitch Rivals as your host and co-caster for the Back for Blood Twitch Rivals event. I am very excited. Nice. Awesome, I really want to see Back for Blood take off as kind of like a PvP sports thingy. So very excited for that. So, yeah.
We have played this. We've gotten together twice on Xbox Live and had a awesome time. Rand and I were gone last week, so yeah, hopefully we can get back to it, because I want to get through the whole campaign, even if it takes us like 6 or 7 sessions to do
like
it.
Like 2 years.
It'll be so fun.
Yeah. I'm having a ball with that game.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Thank you to Super Producer Red. And with that, we're out of here. We'll see you guys next week.
Hi, I'm Jennifer, a founder of the Go Kid Go Network. At Go Kid Go, putting kids first is at the heart of every show that we produce. That's why we're so excited to introduce a brand new show to our network called The Search for the Silver Lining, a fantasy adventure series about a spirited young girl named Isla who time travels to the mythical land of Camelot. Look for The Search for the Silver Lining on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.